the mic. Numbers chapter 14 and Joshua chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and Joshua chapter 14. I need you to find both places and keep your fingers in both places there. Going to be flipping back and forth here, taking a break from our regular series that we're preaching through and preaching something that the Lord's laid on my heart and asking God to use it in a great way. Numbers chapter 14 and Joshua chapter 14. I am going first to Numbers chapter 14. Aren't you glad it's the same chapter, right? It's chapter 14, the book of Numbers and the book of Joshua. And preach a thought here that I've used and I want to use it again. Numbers chapter 14, verse 22. Notice what the Word of God says. The Bible says in Numbers 14, 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. If you're having a mark in your Bible, notice what God says about Caleb in verse number 24. He said, Caleb had another spirit. And in this story, in context, this is the story of the 12 spies coming back from the promised land, and 10 of them give an evil report and discourage the people's heart. But Caleb and Joshua give a good report and say, God's in this, let's go forward. And God is passing judgment upon the nation of Israel. But then he speaks about his servant Caleb. And he said, my servant Caleb had another spirit. And today I want to preach to you on this subject, Caleb, the man with another spirit. The man with another spirit. And by the end of this service, may we have men, women, teenagers rising in their hearts saying, I am going to be like Caleb. I want to have another spirit. I want to have the spirit that when God sees all the unbelief and all the disbelief and all the discouragement, that he looks at me and he sees something different about me. God, give us more Calebs with another spirit this morning. Let's pray together. Father, would you help us, I pray. I need your help, oh God. Would you forgive my sin? Help me to be clean. May there be nothing hindering you at all, I pray. And Holy Spirit of God, arrest us. And help us today to be faithful to you and your word. Bless the children's churches, the Pathfinders bus teen class, the nursery, all of it, preschool. May you be honored in Jesus' name. Amen. We can all remember the story beginning in Numbers chapter 13 when the Lord told Moses to send a man from every tribe to spy out the land of Canaan. Among these 12 spies was a man by the name of Caleb. And when these spies came back, 10 of them gave an evil report that discouraged the people's heart. However, Caleb, along with Joshua, gave a good report in which the people did not follow. As a result of the people's disbelief, God sentenced them to a life of wilderness wandering. And while the Lord is in progress of passing sentence on these unbelievers, he speaks concerning Caleb in verse 24, and he said, but my servant Caleb had another spirit. In other words, there was something different about Caleb when compared to the others. He didn't go along with the crowd of his day. He had another spirit. He didn't go along with the doubts and fears of that day. No, he had another spirit. He didn't go along with the peer pressure around him. No, he had another spirit. And as we fast forward to Joshua chapter 14, I'm not going to read this now, but in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15, we see in Numbers chapter 14 that Caleb is 40 years old. That's how old I am right now. And God's speaking to my heart. He was 40 years old in Numbers chapter 14, but when you go to Joshua 14, he is 85 years old. He's 45 years older. And even though he's 45 years older, you'll see in Joshua chapter 14 that Caleb still had that other spirit that caused God's blessing to be on his life. Let me pause and say here, in a world full of doubts and fears, God, give us more Calebs with another spirit. In a world I'm talking about where many are just going along to get along, God, give us some more Calebs with another spirit. In a world of compromise and ungodliness and disbelief, God, give us more Calebs with another spirit. Make no mistakes about it, when compared to the world around him, sin running rampant, disbelief on every hand, ungodliness breathing down his neck, God spoke up and said, Caleb has another spirit. And may I say to you that this is what our churches need today. This is what our homes need today. We need men and women, teenagers and children, that God looks down and sees another spirit. I'm talking about a spirit that God is pleased with. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to look at this spirit of Caleb in Numbers chapter 14 when he's 40 years old, all the way through his life to Joshua chapter 14 when he's 85 years old. And there's four things that I see that summarizes the spirit of Caleb that calls God to look down and say, I like that. I'll tell you this, I want God to look down, look at my life, and say, I like that right there. I want God to look at me when all the sin's running rampant, this nation's turning against God, disbelief, doubt, fear on every hand. I want God to see a spirit in this old country boy that he's pleased with. And I want to share with you four things that summarize the spirit of Caleb. And I feel like preaching this morning, friends. I'll tell you this, a preacher don't always feel like preaching. I feel like preaching this morning. I'm telling you, I'm glad that I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad, may I say this, you cannot have this spirit of Caleb unless the Holy Spirit of God's living inside of you. And if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't have this spirit until you're on the winning side. And I'm glad this morning that I am on the winning side. I'm glad I'm going to see King Jesus with my eyeballs. I'm glad when I see him, it will be worth it all. And in the meantime, I like that. Just in the meantime, let us strive to have the spirit of Caleb. What kind of spirit did he have? Simple. To change your life, you let it. Number one, the first thing we notice about this spirit, Caleb, the man with another spirit, with the man with a different spirit, different than the world, different than disbelief. What kind of spirit did he have? Number one, he had the spirit of just believing God's word. We see this. Look at Numbers chapter 13. Wait on me there. Make no mistakes about it. Caleb had the spirit of just believing whatever God said. Numbers chapter 13, look at it, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. Notice this now, which I give unto the children of Israel. Do you see it? God told them before he ever sent the spies, he said, I will give you the land. The land is yours. Yet in chapter 13, you'll notice that they see giants and they see all of these things and they see themselves like grasshoppers in the sight of the mighty giants. And 10 of them come back and say, oh, the land's exactly what God said. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But there are giants there and we cannot take it. And they discourage the people. But not everybody. Caleb steps up on the scene, chapter 13, verse 30. Look at it. This is while the people are discouraged. They don't want to go. Look at it, verse 30 of chapter 13. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Look at chapter 14, verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb, there he is, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Get it right here, friends. Because he believed God, he stood against his peers and against his enemies. God give us the spirit. If God says it's ours, we just believe him and go take it. No doubt about it. Look at Joshua chapter 14. Now he's 85 years old. He's 45 years older. Notice his spirit here. Joshua 14, verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal. Here he is, and Caleb, there he is. He's now 45 years older, 85 years old here. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. He's referring back to Numbers 14. 45 years have elapsed. And he says in verse number 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Verse 9, Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. In other words, he said, Moses told me, God said, that land is yours, Caleb. Notice what he did in verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Look at verse number 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how that the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. What a testimony. Here he is 40 years old in Numbers 14. He's just believing God. Here he is 85 years old, 45 years later in Joshua 14, and he's just still believing God. He's still trusting God in the midst of a nation who did not believe God, in the midst of a nation ready to stone him when his world changed drastically after refusal to enter Canaan. Even at the end of his life in Joshua 14, we see Caleb had the spirit of simply believing God and his holy word. Make no mistakes about it. Because of his faith in God, he withstood unbelievers. He claimed all God had for him. And at 85, Joshua 15, 13, and 14, he drove out the Anakims when he was 85 years old. The interesting thing is in verse number 11, it tells us that Caleb had as much strength when he was 85 as he had when he was 40. You know what this goes to show? That God always provides the strength to claim all of his promises. And we need to just believe him. Mark 11, 22, Jesus answered, saith unto them, have faith in God. His name was Todd. Todd was a 3-year-old boy from Rhode Island. He went down to the seacoast to fly a kite. He'd never had flown a kite before because he's only 3 years old. He had never seen it. He didn't even hardly know what it was, apparently. He obviously had doubts. He was 3 years old. But his daddy told him that all is well and the kite is going to go up as planned. As Todd unraveled the string, 3 years old, and he watched the kite go up, he was heard to say, and I quote, I knew it would fly, Daddy. You said it would. God make us like Todd. Things that you've never seen before, but God said, that's going to happen. Look here, friends. That's going to happen whether I believe it or not. And we need to just believe God. Faith in God makes great optimists. Over in Burma, Adoniram Judson was lying in a foul jail with 32 pounds of chains on his ankles. Can you imagine that? 32 pounds of chains on his ankles. His feet bound to a bamboo pole. A prisoner said, and I quote, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen? Just kind of sneering at him, making fun of him, you see. His instant reply was this, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. During an especially trying time in the work of the China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor wrote to his wife, and I quote, we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. Isn't that a blessing? The Wesley brothers, Charles and John. John tells a story and said, my brother Charles, amid the difficulties of our earthly ministry, he used to say, if the Lord would give me wings, I will fly. And he said, I used to answer my brother, if the Lord bid me fly, I'd trust him for the wings. You know, God has his way. of bringing us to the end of ourselves when the only thing you can do is believe God. There's a little chorus preacher taught it to us. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Somebody said faith is never a blind leap, but a deep, settled conviction that God will do what He promised He would do. During the terrible days of the Blitz, there is a father holding his small son by the hand, and he ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard, there was a shell hole, a large shell hole. It was so big that the man jumped down into it, seeking shelter for him and his boy. But he left the boy outside as he jumped down into the hole. And he held up his arms. Can you see him down in that hole? He held up his arms to the boy and he said, "Jump! Daddy will catch you!" But smoke had covered that hole and the boy couldn't see his daddy. He could just hear his voice from underneath the smoke. He couldn't see how deep it was or whatever the case may be. And the little boy was standing right there at the edge of that hole. And his daddy, he couldn't see him. He could just hear his voice. I'm starting to get happy right there. He couldn't see him, but he could hear his voice. And he leaned up and said, "Jump, Daddy will catch you." And the boy said, "I can't see you, Daddy. I can't see you." And he heard his daddy's voice saying, "But I can see you. And that's all that matters right now, son." And the boy jumped down in the hole to safety. May I say to you, God has His way of bringing us to the shell holes of life where you can't see Him. The only thing you have is His Word. The only thing you have is what He's told you. And He tells you, "Jump, son. Jump, daughter. Daddy will catch you." I remember, I've told this story so often, you could probably tell it yourself, but when Judson, he's 15, of course, Mrs. Sexton, Preacher Lashley, she told him that it's getting to the point where I'm going to start jumping off the bed to him. But anyway, he's 15, I'm starting to look up to him. But he was a young kid, about 3 years old, I'm guessing on the age, but he was small. He came to the edge of our bed. Our bed was a little high, and I know what you're thinking, but get it out of your mind. I know, but anyway. Came to the edge of the bed, and he wanted to jump off. And I went down to the foot of the bed and stood there, and I kept my arms down to the side. And I didn't hold my arms out like this. I just held my arms down to the side, and I said, "Jump, son. Daddy will catch you." I was testing him. I was trying to get him to trust Daddy. And he stood there and just rocked back and forth like this. He's wanting to jump so much, it was ridiculous. He still does that. No, I'm just kidding with you. Jumping back and forth like this. And it wasn't long after I gave him my word that here he jumped. You see him in the air? Pause. As that boy's in the air jumping to his daddy, what's he telling me? "I trust you. You gave me your word, Daddy. You told me you'd catch me." What'd I do? I dropped him. "No, I'm just kidding with you. No, look here, please. I caught him. And if you'd have gotten in my way, I don't care how big you are, I'd have knocked you out of the way to catch him." Amen. Because he was telling me, "I trust your word, Daddy." Doesn't God have His way to bring us to the edge of the bed? Amen or not this morning. And He says, "Jump. Believe me. Trust me." How much time do we waste doing this? When if we just jump, He will move heaven, earth, hell, the devil, every demon, everything in the universe out of the way, and I guarantee you He'll keep His word. Caleb had the spirit of just believing Him. I could stop right there. That's enough for all of us to get on our face and say, "Oh, God, help me." Amen. He had the spirit of just believing God. He had the spirit, number two. The second one's a little longer one too. The last two go a little bit quicker. I'm just trying to make you feel better about it, okay? The second thing that summarizes spirit is he not only had a spirit of believing what God said, but number two, he had the spirit of following God wholly. Flip over to Joshua chapter number 14. Let me show you some things here. Look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren, this is Caleb speaking, that went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. Notice this now, because I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, he's speaking about himself here. It's one thing to be able to say it about yourself. By the way, you know what the word wholly means? Completely. Nothing left unturned. Total, complete dedication. Not one, little iota left behind. Giving yourself completely, lock and stock and barrel, to what God wants you to do. He said, I wholly follow the Lord. Said it about himself right there. Look at verse 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. There's the same phrase. Who's speaking now? Moses. He said it about himself. Look here, please. I can't do any more than I've done. That's the word. I can't get any closer. I'm completely committed. There's nothing between my soul and the Savior. I'm completely committed to God. Holy. I said that about me. That's Caleb. But not only me, Moses said that about me. You know, it's one thing you said about yourself. It's another thing if Moses does. Amen. We're not done. Flip back to Numbers 14. There's somebody a whole lot bigger than Moses that says the same thing. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse number 24. Who's speaking here? It's our text. You know who it is? It's God. God is speaking. Here's what he says, verse 24, Numbers 14. But my servant Moses, because he had another spirit with him, notice this now, and hath followed me fully. Wow. You know, it's one thing to say it about yourself. It's another thing for Moses to say it about you. But it's a complete different ballgame when God does, friends. I wonder today, would God say the same about you and me? Jody hath, would he truly say, followed me fully? Am I really, completely, totally dedicated to God? Lock, stock, barrel, whatever that means. Are you following God fully? Have you given him your all? Does he have your full attention? Are you all out for God? You cannot be all out for God and have unconfessed sin in your life. It's impossible. You cannot be all out for God and disrespect your authority. It's impossible. You cannot be all out for God and hold on to the world at the same time. It's impossible. You know what I'm convinced of? I'm convinced that we live in a generation of Christians who think they're better Christians than they really are. I wonder today if God puts your life over here on display and God's the only one that can answer it. You can't answer it. Moses can't answer it. Only God's going to answer it. And there's only two answers on it. They are completely mine or they are partially mine. Which one would he choose for you? How's your music? How's your attitude? How's your standards? You reading the Bible, walking with God every day? How many people did you tell about Jesus this week? You faithful to church? How's your attitude? Is there any sin in your life that shouldn't be there? I'm asking, are you completely, totally, everything given to God? It's interesting here that when Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions, He took a bold and decisive step to ensure success for his military venture. He ordered his men to stop on the edge of the cliffs of Dover, and he commanded them to look down at the water below where they had crossed. And to their amazement, they saw every ship in which they had crossed the channel engulfed in flames. They were on fire. See, what he had done is he had set his own ships on fire to cut off any possible retreat. And now that his soldiers were unable to return to the continent, there was nothing left for them to do but advance and conquer. And that's exactly what they did. Right here. Listen to me just a moment. There are too many Christians who have left a ship to go back. There's too many Christians who've left some kind of an escape hatch, and God is not pleased with that. Three little girls were talking about their daddies. One of them said, "My father's a doctor and he practices medicine." Another one said, "My dad's an attorney and he practices law." But the third one said, "My daddy's a Christian, but he doesn't practice that anymore." Don't let that be said in your home, because their little eyes watching you. The story is told of a man who rode in his car as it was being towed. He just stayed in his car. When they arrived at the repair shop, the tow truck driver told him, said, "I didn't think I was going to make it up that big hill." The man said, "I didn't either. That's why I kept the brakes on, so we wouldn't roll backwards." To live without total dedication to Christ is the same thing as trying to go forward and yet holding back at the same time. You can't do it. Charles Spurgeon told a story about the deep love and devotion that French soldiers had for their leader, Napoleon. He noted it was not at all unusual for a mortally wounded soldier, in other words, he's getting ready to die, to raise himself up on one elbow and give a final cheer. Like us, it would be this. I don't know what they would do, but just raise up before he died, because he's mortally wounded, to give one final cheer to his general. If by chance the dying man saw Napoleon nearby, he would, with his final breath, say something out of respect. Spurgeon goes on to say, but perhaps one of the most eloquent expressions of all came from the lips of a soldier who had been shot in the chest. If you can imagine this, as the surgeon was attempting to remove the bullet with the man still awake, the suffering man was heard to whisper, and I quote, "If you go much deeper, doctor, you'll come to the emperor." You say, what's that mean? Here's what it means. He was telling the doctor that I took this bullet and it's close to my heart. But if you dig deep enough to get to my heart, you will find my general on my heart. Is God on your heart? Fooey on halfway Christianity. Be done with lukewarmness and say, God, I am yours completely. My wife and I have been married 18 years. And I'll guarantee you one thing about my bride. She does not want me to be 90% faithful to her. I'll guarantee you something else. She does not want me to be 99.999, and the nines go all the way down, faithful to her. She wants her husband to be 100% faithful to her in body, mind, and soul. Now, why should my wife expect anything less or anything more than God? I'm convinced that we have what I call spiritual adultery going on. Spiritual adultery. I'll give God part of it, but I'm going to give the world half of it. That's adultery spiritually. And God's not pleased with it. You ever heard the name William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army? Here's what he said. He said, I'll tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, even with greater opportunities, but from the day that I got the poor of London on my heart and caught a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with me and them, on that day I made up my mind that God should have all of William Booth there was. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army, it's because God has had all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life, end quote. The famous violinist Kreisler testified to this point when he said, narrow is the road that leads to the life of a violinist. Hour after hour, day after day, week after week, for years, I lived with my violin. There were so many things that I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was to master the violin. The road that traveled, right here, was a narrow road, and the way was hard. God help us when a violin master like that gives more dedication to an instrument than God's people give to God Himself. Amen. I'll amen myself today. Because I am right on this. God deserves complete, total dedication. Does He have yours? Does He have yours? I want Him to have mine. He is worthy. God is worthy. And He's deserving of everything we have to give Him. That's point number two. Let me give you point number three. We're looking at this spirit that God looked at Caleb and said, that's another spirit. I like that. I like that. I'm going to bless him. The spirit of just believing God. The spirit of giving God everything. Number three, the spirit of depending on God for victory. We see this in Joshua chapter number 14. Look at Joshua 14 and notice verse number 12. Now keep this in mind. God's already promised him the land. God's already told him that mountain is yours. He's already been promised it. And yet notice his language in Joshua 14, 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Notice this now, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. Notice this. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. As the Lord said. Do you see His spirit? Something else that summarized Caleb's spirit through his life was how he just constantly depended on God for victory. Look here. Caleb was a man's man. Caleb was a man that you would not want to meet on the battlefield, I guarantee it. Caleb was a man that could take your head off like that if he wanted to, more than likely. He was a man. But right here shows you that he was a real man. Because he said this, you know what God told me many years ago. He said, I want to tell you something. If the Lord will be with me, then I should be able to take that land. You know what that shows me? He was not proud, arrogant, cocky, boastful about himself. I'm telling you, he was a truly humble man. You know what Bible humility is? See, some people have the mistaken idea. Some people think Bible humility, just dress in all black and cover your face and just walk around and draw attention. Oh, I'm terrible. I can't do anything. Dust and ashes, dust and ashes. Oh, woe is me. I'm the worst thing. No, that can become pride. You know what Bible humility is? Faith in God. Belief in God. Not self, not this. Hey, if anybody could have said, I'm going, I'm charging, I've got this under control, my military know-how, they don't know what's going to hit them. Caleb could have said that, but he didn't. He said, let me tell you something. My military know-how is nothing if God's not helping me. My military know-how is not anything unless God helps me. David and Goliath. Bible humility, humble, depending upon God. That's humility, depending upon God. That's humility. Remember when Goliath was staring at David? And he said, come to me, I'm going to feed you the birds and beasts. David looking up at a man almost 10 feet tall. And David said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said this. No, you're not. I'm going to do that to you, and I'm going to do that to all those people back there too. Sounds pretty arrogant, doesn't he? But be honest, that sounds proudful. It really does. But then he went on to say, the battle is the Lord's. Bible humility doesn't run from danger. It confronts it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we see this is one thing about Caleb. M.R. DeHaan put it this way, humility is something we should constantly pray for, yet never thank God that we have it. Amen. Caleb had the spirit of Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Have this spirit of complete dependence upon God. Realize you will have nothing unless God gives it. Psalm 118:8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Looking at the spirit of Caleb, what about it? He had a spirit of believing what God said. He had a spirit of giving God everything, totally, total commitment. He wasn't half in, half out. He wasn't 80-20, 90-10, 95-5, 99-1. No, he was 100% God's. Starting to see why God liked this spirit. Number three, he had the spirit of just depending on God for victory. And then in closing, number four, he had the spirit, Joshua 14, of giving God all the praise. We see this in Joshua chapter 14. Look at verse number 10. He says, and now behold, notice this now, the Lord hath kept me alive. You know what we would do, some of us, if we have the military know-how? Look what my sword-wielding ability did for me. Look at all this military genius, and look how I've kept myself alive for 45 years. Not Caleb. Caleb said, let me tell you how I survived 45 years. God kept me alive. That's what he says right there. The Lord has kept me alive. You know one of the interesting things about Caleb? I encourage you to do a Bible study on your own. One of the interesting things is that when you see Caleb in the Bible and he is speaking, not when somebody's speaking about him, but when he is opening his mouth, he's speaking. When you find him speaking in the Word of God, notice how often he's praising God. Go look at it yourself. He just had God on his lips. See, when somebody's heart is given to God, it'll come out their mouth. And he just praised God all the time. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Psalm 44:8, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Psalm 71:6, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Psalm 107:8, 15, 21, 31, oh that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works of the children of men. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Psalm 148, listen to this, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, storm and wind fulfilling his words. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, king of the earth and people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all of his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Any questions? Honestly. He said, let the earth, let the moon, let the stars, let the children, let the adults, let the old men, the young men, the maidens, I mean, the kings, everybody, just praise God. Because God is worthy of our praise. Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large church in Australia. The moderator of the service introduced the missionary in eloquent, glowing terms, and he told the large congregation that Taylor had accomplished in China great things. And then he presented him as our illustrious guest. Taylor stood quietly for a moment, then opened his message by saying, "Dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master." And I say amen to that. His name was Samuel Morse. A man tells the story of the famous inventor of the telegraph. Samuel Morse invented the telegraph. He was once asked if he ever encountered situations where he did not know what to do. Morse responded, and I quote, "More than once. And whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding." Morse received many honors from his invention of the telegraph, but he felt undeserving, and I quote from him. Here's what he said. "I have made a valuable application of electricity not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and He was pleased to reveal it to me." His first message was entitled, "What Hath God Wrought?" God give us the praise and the spirit of praise that Caleb had. I'm about done. In the midst of a majority of unbelievers, that's Caleb. Are you listening? We're in the midst, I'm talking about our nation, of a majority of unbelievers. In the midst of a nation of a majority of unbelievers, God spoke and said, "Caleb has another spirit." Even though he had the same circumstances, he had a different spirit. The spirit of just believing God, following God completely, depending on God for victory, giving God the praise. For 45 years, Caleb's vision burned in his heart. He wasn't content with the average. He wanted all God said to him. And as a result, God gave him Hebron. You know what Hebron means? Fellowship. Let me ask you a question. I'm closing my Bible. That doesn't mean you are, okay? Do you want this spirit? Do you want this spirit? Or is it just like, eh? Eh? I'll be honest with you. If one person today grabs what I'm trying to do, it'll be worth my time. What about it, teenager? What about it, young man? What about it, senior saint? What about it, middle age? What about it, gentleman, lady? What about it, child, mom, dad, husband, wife? What about it? Do you want God to look at you and say, in the midst of a generation who wants nothing to do with me, I have found somebody with another spirit? God, give us the spirit of Caleb. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would you bless this? Would you help us to understand what this is about? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I remind you what I said in the introduction, that you cannot have this spirit of Caleb unless, first of all, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Is there one today, you say, "Pastor Jody, if I died just like I am, I do not know, 100% sure, I do not know that heaven is my home. But I'll guarantee you this. I want to have that peace in my heart today. I want to know Jesus. I do not know Him," or you're concerned that you're lost. Maybe you're just doubting, or you know you're lost, and you say, "Pastor Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I know I didn't preach along this line, but I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm born again. And would you pray for me?" As they begin to play through softly, "I will not come to your seat," would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody like that? You say, "Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm born again. Then let me ask you this question. I'm not going to work through this list, but I'll guarantee you this. You know right now if these 4 points of just believing God, giving Him everything, not holding back anything, completely giving yourself to God, depending on Him for victory, and giving Him the praise, you already know if you have that spirit or not. Here's my question. Whether you have that spirit or not, I'm not asking if you have it or not, I'm saying whether you do or not, how many of you today say, Pastor Jody, God is speaking to me, and I want this spirit. It could be that you already have it and God's just saying, keep going. Or it could be that you don't have it and you say, Pastor Jody, I need this spirit, whatever it is. If you say, Pastor Jody, you're talking to me. God's speaking to me. I want to be like Caleb. I want to have this spirit. And God is speaking to me in the balcony down below. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Would you do that? You say, boy, I want this spirit. I want this spirit. Yes, if you raised your hand, I want you to listen to me closely. God has spoken to you. And it could be that you already have this spirit and God's just encouraging you. Or it could be that God has His finger on something. My brother Daniel will begin to sing. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me say this to you. As your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, if you raised your hand a minute ago, why don't you leave your place? Why don't you come? Some have already responded. Why don't you come from the balcony down below? From the balcony down below. Why don't you get in the habit of coming out of your seat, coming to an old-fashioned altar and saying, oh God, give me this spirit. Oh God, give me this spirit. Father, would you take it? Would you use it, please? In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Daniel singing. You come, would you please?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, of God I come, just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blood to thee. Blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with
there's still time for you.
Conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to thee nine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
You can look this way. This is Jack and Carolyn Young and their children, Jesse, Claire, and Julia. Been visiting for a while. We've met with them. They all know the Lord as their Savior. They've all been scripturally baptized, a church of like faith. And they've read the bylaws, all of this. And we're thrilled about it. God has led them here. They want to become members of our church. And we are so honored about this, honestly. So thrilled to have you and your family. God bless you. Beautiful family here. And we thank God for them. They're going to join by letter from the Victory Baptist Church in Bristol, Tennessee. And what's the pleasure of the church that we accept them by letter? Brother Rim, Brother Bridgman, all in favor, say aye. Raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. First order of business, donuts to the pastor. No, I'm just kidding with you there. That's a joke, all right? We're thrilled to have you. I want you to stay right there, okay? I'm sure our folks want to come by and greet. Please come by and greet this great family the Lord has led to us. We give God praise for that. Amen. And I'm excited about it. Praise the Lord for it. I want missionary, I hope I'm calling your name. Is it Brazel? I got it. You come on up here, please, okay? Missionary, he and his wife to Australia. And I'm going to have him close us in a word of prayer. We're so honored to have him here. God bless you. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Be back tonight. Golden State Quartet will be here. We're excited about that. You come lead us in a word of prayer. Please get your gift. If you're a first-time guest, take your card out to the lobby. God bless you. And please come up here. Sorry. Please come up here and greet this family. That'll be a good thing. God bless you. Thank you.
Pastor, and for his heart for you. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to have another spirit today. Help us, Lord, to empty ourselves of ourselves and fill ourselves with you. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with the service tonight and with this quartet group and the speaker this evening. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them. And just help us all, Lord, to bask in your glory today and to bring honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.